Welcome to the Episcopal Church of the Redeemer's Sermon Podcast.
The readings appointed for this sermon are from the book of the prophet Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4 through 9a, the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, the gospel according to John chapter 13, verse 21 through 32, and Psalm 70.
In the name of God who creates us, reconciles us, and sustains us. Good evening. I have a Holy Week riddle for you. What two people in the Bible both have names with five letters beginning with a J and ending with an S? Hint, they were both mentioned in today's gospel reading. Easy peasy. Jesus and Judas, right? Judas Iscariot, to be factual. Now, in an attempt to get inside of his head, I played the part of Judas in this last Sunday's Passion reading. Because after all, the Bible says really very little about Judas. It's very sparse and ambiguous what the Bible says. Even though his name and reputation have been vilified extensively in history, art, and literature. What the Bible does say is this: Judas betrayed Jesus by identifying him to the authorities for arrest at the cover of night. And this was to avoid a daytime ruckus with the whole world watching. You know, CBS News, NBC News. They didn't want that kind of thing. Crucifixion was the desired end result. Now, in John and Luke, Judas is possessed by the devil. And in Mark and Luke, Judas hands over Jesus to the chief priests, who then pay him a reward. Now, there's this a little bit different nuance in Matthew. Matthew says that the wanted Jesus is betrayed in order to receive a reward. Now, John says nothing about a reward at all, except that Jesus stole from the common purse. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus is identified with a kiss. But in John, Judas stands by in silence while Jesus is arrested. In Matthew, after returning the 30 pieces of silver, Judas hangs himself. Now, Luke, on the other hand, tells us in Acts that Judas uses the ill-gotten gain to buy a field and in falling onto it, bursts open, spilling his bowels all over the ground. These are all different nuances and different, you know, drifts of a story. However, they're all variations on a common theme: betrayal and consequences. Betrayal and consequences. So we want to explore this. Why did Judas sell out Jesus? Now, did the devil really make him do it? Well, that's what the gospel lesson says. But the so-called gospel of Judas, recently discovered, suggests that Jesus told Judas to do it. I mean, what motivated Judas to do such a thing? What were his expectations, preconceived notions? What were his prejudices? And so that brings into the question, what are ours? What are our expectations and notions and prejudices? Well, how about this theory? Out of a twisted love of country, Judas was really trying to provoke Jesus to overthrow the Romans because they were oppressing the people and not really intending to kill Jesus at all. Or was his betrayal intended to eliminate an increasingly activist Jesus, you know, before the annoyed Romans would retaliate against the Jewish people whom he loved? Or maybe he was unhappy with his place in the pecking order. It is said that pride is the root of all evil. Was false pride Judas's downfall? Now, I'll share something with you. At one time, a psychologist speculated that I had unresolved anger issues. Well, I'm still working on it. But I got me to wondering, was Judas lashing out in anger? I don't know. Are we dealing with a jealous Judas? Was Judas jealous of Mary intimately anointing and washing Jesus' feet with her hair? Is that really why he complained that the large sum of money to buy expensive perfumes could have been better spent on the poor? Or was he really being altruistic? I don't know. However, you know, we're sort of convinced that Judas was stealing from the common purse. And maybe after all, it was just about the 30 pieces of silver. Now, I don't know if you remember, but as Phil said in his sermon on Monday, Judas is a veritable hot mess. Controversial, difficult to figure out. Judas is a very real riddle. Which begs the question, who reminds you of Judas? Who reminds you of Judas? Now, for me, three people come to my mind: King David's betrayal of Uriah, an ex-president, which one? And a one-time business associate, but I don't want to go into that right now. It's an ugly story. What about corrupt Wall Street bankers, war profiteers, drug lords, traffickers in human beings? Now, these are the kind of people that we just love to hate. But let's get a little closer to home. Have you ever been a victim of gossiping? Gossiping has consequences, you know, whether intended or not. And did you know that, I looked it up, did you know that a synonym for gossip is to betray? Judas represents the people we are close to who have betrayed us on a very personal level, and we thought we knew them. Yeah? So is Judas to be despised or pitied? Well, one pet heresy I lean towards is universal salvation. I just know God has this plan. It's all about love, grace, and mercy, and forgiveness, right? But is Judas the exception, being condemned to eternal damnation? I don't know if you're familiar with Dante's Inferno, but in Dante's Inferno, we find Judas in the lowest ninth circle of hell for traitors. He's being constantly chewed up in the mouths of a three-headed Satan. I can just picture that. Or, you know, maybe Judas is kind of really like the woeful creature, like poor Gollum in The Lord of the Rings. He's someone to be pitied. Yes. Or another thing I thought of is he something like the nowhere man that the Beatles sang about in three-part harmony? And one of the lines in that song is, isn't he a bit like you and me? Well, let's get back to the gospel reading. Having his last supper with the disciples, a troubled Jesus announces that one of them is his betrayer. And you know, if you read that carefully, every one of them is bewildered. They have no clue. And their uncertainty suggests that actually it could be any one of them. A notable example is Peter, who refutes that he would ever deny Jesus, but then does so three times, cock-a-doodle-doo. And speaking of Peter, he's the one that beckons John, the beloved disciple, reclining right next to Jesus to ask for the name of the traitor. Well, and Jesus answers, kind of vaguely, it is the one to whom I give this piece of bread, he says. Well, Judas may have gotten the first piece of bread, but he didn't get the last piece of bread. They all shared the very same communal bread and wine. And then we will do that very shortly together. And I take great comfort in doing that with you, because I confess that I too have betrayed Jesus, selling him out to suffering and death in this time and place by failing to love as I should. Here's the question before us in this day and age. Isn't Jesus among us even now as the other, the last, the lost, the least, the lonely, and the left out? Jesus beckons us to love God and to love one another. And, you know, fortunately, we all have a community to do that, but many others do not. Now, paradoxically, I think we can look to Judas for answers, actually. Judas must have loved Jesus from the very beginning. Like his colleagues, his fellow disciples, he dropped everything he was doing, giving up a known way of life to be with the itinerant Jesus, becoming his disciple. My goodness, it was for 3 or more years. And their lives then became intimately and intricately intertwined. But what got in the way of this? What got in the way? Well, perhaps a fearful Judas may have succumbed to typical human foibles. I can guess perhaps greed, entitlement, envy, doubt, anger, uncertainty, whatever. The thing is, it all culminated in an act of betrayal, and Judas rejected that intimacy with Jesus, breaking that relationship, breaking that bond of affection. Yet, the hope of Judas is our hope. Even while being betrayed with a kiss, Jesus calls Judas friend. He called him friend. Imagine it. Jesus sees Judas for who he really is. Vulnerable, with a capital V, and a friend. And did not Judas's post-betrayal behavior demonstrate regret and repentance? Redemption happens through repentance and forgiveness. And Paul tells us that nothing separates us from the love of God, not even death. Not even any kind of manner of death, and not even betrayal. And Paul should know. God's love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness is unrelenting and irresistible. The Bible is salt and pepper with words in recognition of our human condition. And they are words of hope and inspiration. Like, for example, today's reading from Isaiah says, "It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty?" And in the psalm, "But as for me, I am poor and needy. Come to me speedily, O God. You are my helper and my deliverer." And then the very last line of that psalm is, "O Lord, do not tarry." Hurry up. I particularly like the way Frederick Buechner relates Jesus and Judas to our human condition. Buechner wrote, "Judas is only the first person in a procession of betrayers 2,000 years long. If Jesus were to exclude him from his love and forgiveness to one degree or another, he would have to exclude all of us, all of humanity." Now, Buechner also conjectured something interesting, that when Jesus descended to hell, as we say in the Apostles' Creed, when Jesus descended into hell, he met his old bud, Judas, once again in the shadows, this time the shadows of hell. Only it was this time Jesus who was the one to give the kiss, but at this time it was not a kiss of death, but a kiss of life. And you know, it occurs to me that Judas was the first person that Jesus saved. And our lives, like Judas, are also intricately and intimately intertwined with Jesus. And then when that relationship is broken, it's renewed and healed. And I offer here, as a last conclusion, wrapping it up, I think this is the real riddle of Jesus and Judas. God loves us at our very worst. Yesterday, today, and forever, we have been loved, we are being loved, and we will be loved. And the worst betrayal is that of ourselves by denying God's love for us and then not sharing it because, you know, that's what love is all about. Amen. Thank you.